Good afternoon, 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
What this satellite does is it measures an aspect of the physics of the early universe called the diffuse X-ray background.
And the director of MSU's Space Science Program, Dr. Ben Malford, says that mini-satellite is now in orbit, launched today from Florida.
An Inez woman is on trial this afternoon for a triple murder 3 years ago.
And Maysville will try to sell its conference center at a public auction tomorrow.
In sports, the MSU baseball team hopes to make it 4 straight at Allen Field this afternoon. The Eagles take on West Virginia Tech.
But Luke has the stocks.
A chance of showers or thunderstorms tonight, low of around 58 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The prosecution has begun presenting its case in the triple murder trial of a woman from Inez. According to WYMT, Amanda Bowen is being tried in Johnson County for her alleged involvement in the 2014 killings of Tina Goble, Kaney Johnson Jr., and Trinity Maynard. The victims were stabbed in their Martin County home, and the structure was then set on fire. Bowen's boyfriend, Jack Smith, pleaded guilty to the killings last week and is awaiting sentencing. Defense attorneys have not denied Bowen's involvement in the deaths, but claim she is mentally handicapped.
A Lexington man has been formally sentenced to life in prison for distributing a heroin fentanyl mix that turned lethal. 28-year-old Joshua Ewing was convicted of distributing heroin laced with the powerful painkiller fentanyl to Jeremy Deaton, who later died as a result. Acting U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Kentucky, Carol Schreier.
This is a perfect example of why drug trafficking is not a victimless crime. You might hear that a lot, but it's just not true.
Schreier says the life sentence was a mandatory minimum under federal law because of Ewing's prior drug conviction.
Governor Matt Bevin told the National Prescription Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit Monday that failure is not an option in the battle. The Republican spoke at the kickoff of the 4-day conference in Atlanta.
We cannot afford the human price. We cannot afford the financial price. We cannot afford the cultural price, the spiritual price, the emotional price. We can't afford the price.
The governor said he's hoping that a new Kentucky law restricting some opioid prescriptions to a 3-day supply will help curtail abuse.
An Atlas V rocket carrying a miniature satellite, or CubeSat, built by the staff and students at Moorhead State University's Space Science Center, was launched today from the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. Dr. Ben Malfres heads the space science program at MSU. He says the CubeSat was 4 years in the making in Moorhead.
It was selected by NASA for a flight on this particular launch, and the students did the design and the fabrication. We build the entire satellites here in the building, and by we, I mean mostly students. This one is cool. It has an X-ray detector, and it's taken an astrophysics measurement, so it's a real science satellite, and it has the potential to take the most precise measurement ever made of this feature of the early universe called the diffuse X-ray background.
Dr. Malfres says the latest CubeSat is a follow-on mission to the one that was launched in September 2012.
Moorhead State University is contemplating a tuition increase for the fall semester of 4.9%. That's according to the school's vice president for finance and administration, Beth Patrick. She says hiking fees is never a routine choice at MSU.
We're still going to be one of the best values in the state, but we also recognize that students are struggling financially, and so we're working really carefully to make sure that we have the right scholarship programs in place to help the students that need financial assistance.
Even after the tuition increase, Patrick says Moorhead State would still likely have the lowest or second lowest tuition rates among Kentucky's public universities.
The Kentucky Department of Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt hosted a town hall last night at Round County Senior High School. It was the fifth in a series of 10 stops around the state for Pruitt, who says he wants feedback on a new unnamed accountability system for public schools. According to Pruitt, the new system will focus less on standardized testing, which he says suck.
There's no nice way to say it. They're terrible. And so we We are changing those. We are giving them this year. If my memory is off, you feel free to correct me. But next year, we're going to be developing and field testing a new set for a real set to be in the next year.
The new K-12 accountability system will evaluate schools on five factors: proficiency, closure of the achievement gap, student growth, transition readiness, and access to opportunities. The need for a new system was driven by U.S. Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which shifts responsibility for schools from the federal government to the state.
An Appalachian coal company wants to turn one of its former strip mines into a solar farm. The Berkeley Energy Group, EDF Renewable Energy, and former state auditor Adam Edelin announced today they are looking at two mountaintop removal sites just outside of Pikeville in the heart of Kentucky's coal country. Berkeley executive Ryan John says the solar farm would generate between 50 and 100 megawatts of electricity that would be sold to power companies along the East Coast. He says the project would cost tens of millions of dollars and include hundreds of thousands of solar panels. The project is the latest effort to diversify Kentucky's energy resources. Earlier this month, the Kentucky Coal Museum installed solar panels on its roof.
The missile strike President Trump ordered on a Syrian airbase last week was intended to deliver a message to the world, so says a government professor at Morehead State University who appeared Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Jonathan Pidluzny says Trump wanted to draw a distinction between his conduct of foreign policy and that of President Obama.
I don't think this is a signal that he's going to completely reverse his position on Syria. I think he was looking for an opportunity to demonstrate to the world that the United States is willing to carry a big stick and use it from time to time. I think that was one of his criticisms of President Obama's foreign policy.
Pidluzny says it would be a horrific mistake for President Trump to deploy troops to Syria.
House Minority Leader Rocky Atkins says the General Assembly's repeal of the state's prevailing wage law and its passage of right-to-work legislation will not help middle-class Kentuckians. The Morehead Democrat believes both will reduce paychecks for working families.
I think you build a strong economy through building up wages of middle-class, hard-working people. You don't pass legislation, in my opinion, that will drive down wages of those people who work hard for a living. I think the economy is much stronger when people, especially middle class, are able to put food on the table. They're able to buy a home, able to send their kids to school, able to buy a car.
Atkins says when the pockets of middle class families are squeezed, the economy is hurt.
Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent thinks a proposal to increase the number of insurance premiums the city taxes is a good one. The Morehead Rowland County Recreation Committee recently offered up the idea as a method for developing new revenue to pay for the improved recreation programs and facilities. Trent, though, says that cash would also help the town pay for other important necessities.
There's already a couple, three houses there that were built by Frontier already in that area. And what they're going to do is the way it's reconfigured is it's going to, you know, you're going to have street lights, you're going to have curbs and gutters, it's going to be a really sidewalks. It's going to be such a nice boost to an area that really didn't have that.
Morehead currently gets about $200,000 a year from its 5% taxes on fire, inland, marine, and casualty insurance premiums. Trent wants the city to add auto insurance to that group. He says the county should follow its lead and approve new taxes on all four of those types of policies. If that happens, Trent says that would net Morehead and Rowland County over $1 million a year in new revenue that could be used for such things as recreation, the local ambulance service, new sidewalks, and other key needs.
A public auction will be held tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 at the Maysville City Hall in an effort to find a buyer for the town's conference center. The city decided to sell the facility because the renovated Cox Building is now hosting many of the same events that used to be held at the conference center. However, with sealed bids for the property recently coming in well below its appraised value of $225,000, the city commission decided it would try to auction it. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell is confident that process will help the city finally find a buyer.
We've had probably a dozen people come look at it, so we know that there is a lot of interest in it. But, I mean, when you can buy, you know, probably over the year we've maybe invested $700,000 or $800,000 in it, and if you can buy something for a third of that, you know, it's a pretty good investment.
If no qualified buyer for the conference center steps forward during tomorrow evening's public auction, the Maysville City Commission will retain possession of the building.
Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond will be the site of the 30th annual East Kentucky Leadership Conference. The event starts a week from Thursday and will run through the following day. This year's theme is Transitioning Eastern Kentucky, Economy, Workforce, and Demographics. Melissa Newman, EKU's Director of Regional Stewardship, is the coordinator for this year's conference. Newman says it will bring government officials, business professionals, and community leaders and members together to discuss methods for moving the region's economy forward.
It's going to be a situation where, we can all get together and we can learn about all of the small intricacies and the nuances from the programs that are going on out there in the region or that are getting ready to take place in the region. And plugging into those can only stand to make those projects and those programs better.
The topics of discussion will include ways to find funding for your business, the growth of the area's aerospace industry, adventure tourism, and the future of healthcare in Eastern Kentucky. For more information about the conference, call 773-983-6859.
Ashland City Commissioners will apparently begin holding one of their bi-monthly meetings at night, even though at least one commissioner says the noon meeting is better attended. Commissioners last week approved a first reading of legislation to hold their initial meeting on the second Thursday of each month at noon and gather at 6 p.m. on the fourth Thursday. An earlier motion by Commissioner Matt Perkins to switch one of the forums to the evening failed for lack of a second. However, a public hearing on curbside recycling in March drew a large crowd, and several of those participants expressed the desire for a night meeting. Veteran Commissioner Marty Goode has served on panels that met during the day and in the evening. He says more people show up for the noon meetings, but he's not opposed to having one at night. Goode is quick to add, however, most citizens can get their concerns or problems taken care of without having to address the City Commission at a public forum.
My phone is busy all the time, as well as my Facebook. I'm messaged on Facebook, I'm messaged and texted, I'm called, and I go on site to people's homes and I meet them here at the city building. And so most of their issues are solved before ever a public meeting.
Ashland commissioners voted unanimously last week to support the night meeting. Mayor Steve Gilmore said in March he would recommend the change.
State officials have updated Kentucky's government transparency website to include spending details of the judicial branch. Republican State Treasurer Allison Ball and Finance Administration Cabinet Secretary William Landrum announced the changes during the Kentucky Digital Summit in Frankfort today. The website itself is not new, but portions of the website had not been updated for several years. The updated website will include a searchable list of state contracts and all property owned by the state. It will also include a database of state salary information updated twice a month. Ball and Landrum say the website did not cost the state additional money. The website is transparency.ky.gov. It also includes basic information on how a state budget becomes law and resources for parents and teachers on budgeting. Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Today, cloudy skies, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, high near 75 degrees. Later on tonight, cloudy skies with occasional rain showers. Thunder will be possible. Low of around 59 degrees, chance of rain 60%. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, high of around 77 degrees, chance of rain at 60%. Tomorrow night, partial cloudiness early, with scattered showers and thunderstorms later during the night. Low of around 61 degrees, chance of rain should reach around 50%. Thursday, rain showers early, with some sunshine later in the day, high of around 83 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday night, thunderstorms. Low of around 60 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. On Friday, thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late, a high of around 65 degrees, chance of rain around 80%. And finally, on Friday night, rain showers in the evening will become steady light rain overnight. Low of around 48 degrees, chance of rain at 60%. Right now in Ashland, it's 76 degrees, rather. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. Inez is 72 degrees, along with Lexington. Winchester is 72 degrees, and it's 75 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the city of Ashland is honoring an Olympian who grew up in the Boyd County community and renaming a street in her honor. With more, here's Sean Delaney.
That dream was hatched and launched right there, just at the end of that street.
That's Dr. Megan Nyer, a sports psychologist and former Olympic athlete who hails from Ashland, Kentucky. She's referring to Ashland's Old 13th Street, where her Hall of Fame diving career took root.
I walked or rode my bike, or my mom drove me that way every single day that I trained there at the YMCA. And so not only is it just like an incredible honor, I mean, to be in that location feels just wonderfully special and perfect.
Nyer learned to swim at the YMCA in Ashland, where she was born and raised. She began diving at age 12, and by the time she was 16, she had caught the eye of the U.S. swim and dive team. She qualified for the notorious 1980 U.S. Olympic team, who boycotted the competition after the former Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan the previous year. In 1982, she won the gold medal in women's springboard competition at the World Aquatics Championships. She attended the University of Florida, where she went on to become the all-time winningest diver, male or female, in NCAA history. She was inducted into the University of Florida Hall of Fame in 1996. The next year, she was inducted into the International Swimming Hall of Fame. In 2006, she was named NCAA's most outstanding diver of the last quarter century. But for a 15-time U.S. national diving champion, having a street named after you hits closer to home than you might think.
Obviously have very strong feelings and ties to the community. My mother was probably the quintessential volunteer person, and you know, I feel sad she won't be around when this actually happens, because my mother would have been the one that made that happen. She took care of five kids and got us everywhere all the time, and volunteered in the community her whole life there. And so, I mean, this honor touches me deeply for her, because Ashland was just so central to what mattered to her. So I feel blessed to have had a mom who was so connected and committed to her family and her community.
So she says maybe the next Ashland Olympian will be taking a walk to practice down Megan Nyer Way. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
448. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor, no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State baseball team bids for its fourth straight victory this evening. Coach Mike McGuire's 25-11 Eagles are at Allen Field at 5 o'clock to take on West Virginia Tech.
Well, you know, it's a chance to get better. We're back on the field. We get to play again. And that's, you know, I think guys much prefer to play games versus practice. So I think it's an opportunity for us to get some reps in. And so, you know, I'm excited about that.
After scoring 60 runs during their weekend three-game sweep of SIU Edwardsville, the Eagles are now hitting .334 as a team and scoring an average of 9 runs a game. NAIA member West Virginia Tech rose into Morehead with a 21-24 record. The Cincinnati Reds are at home tonight to start a three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles at 7:05. 40-year-old veteran Bronson Royal will take the mound for the 8-5 Reds. Coming off of back-to-back surgeries, which caused him to miss nearly 3 years of action, in two starts this season, Arroyo is 0-2 with a 9.90 ERA and 11 earned runs in 10 innings. But he says he's still confident in his game.
It helps the team is playing well, and a lot of the young guys are looking fantastic, you know, getting off to a good start. It helps the kind of the morale of the team, and, you know, you can take a little bit of a blow. I mean, I've been away from the game for 3 years, and it's definitely not easy. It's not easy when I was 25, you know what I mean? You go through patches. I can remember plenty of times being 3-5 with a 5 ERA to start the season here and somehow fight my way back to having a pretty good year.
Kevin Gausman will pitch for the 8-3 Orioles. The Reds will be looking to bounce back after going 1-3 against the Brewers over the weekend. One other note from the MLB, Pittsburgh Pirates all-star outfielder Starling Marte has been suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball after testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. The Morehead State softball Eagles will take a break from OVC play tomorrow when they take on Marshall. MSU will be out to avenge an 8-0 March 28th loss to Marshall in Huntington. While Coach David Williams' Eagles are 23-17 this year, Marshall is 33-7.
Marshall is a very, very good team this year. They're 27th in the RPI right now. They're receiving votes in the national top 25. They've only lost, I think, 7 total games all year. They're a very, very good team. I think if we can come out and get a victory there, that's a huge win for us. It is a statement win for our program. And I think that'd be great for us leading into this weekend with Southeast Missouri and UT Martin.
Tomorrow's game starts at 3 p.m. at University Field. Cincinnati Bengals cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones is back in the media spotlight. Speaking yesterday to reporters for the first time since a January incident at a Cincinnati hotel in which he was accused of scuffling with a security guard and police officer and later spitting on a nurse while being booked into jail, Jones got into it with a reporter. The player, who had said that he didn't want to talk about what happened, got upset when a TV reporter asked him what he would say to Bengals fans about the situation.
Didn't I just tell you don't ask me that?
Yeah, but, you know.
You at the conclusion. Turn around. Go back. Go back that way. Bye. See you. Next question. That's his last interview for the year. See y'all later. Don't come over here no more for the rest of the year.
That sound is courtesy of ESPN. Jones walked away from the reporter only to turn around moments later and berate him again. Head coach Marvin Lewis had to lead him away. Jones underwent alcohol treatment and anger management after the January incident. One of the two contenders to become Morehead State starting quarterback next fall says the competition for that spot has been friendly. Redshirt junior Jack Sherry has been battling sophomore Lawson Page for the job during MSU spring practices, but through it all, Sherry says the two players have remained supportive of each other.
We're both just, you know, we're there trying to do the best that we can to help the team. And, you know, obviously I do. It is my intention to win the starting job and be the starter come fall. But right now we're just taking it, you know, a step at a time and understanding that ultimately what's best for the team will end up happening. And, regardless of who is the starter, we will both still contribute.
Sherry was former starting quarterback Austin Gay Hafer's primary backup for the past few seasons. Page was MSU's Wildcat quarterback in 2016, primarily carrying the ball on short yardage plays. New Morehead State head basketball coach Preston Spradlin has added another new member to his staff. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
Bo Braden has joined the Morehead State men's basketball team staff as an assistant coach. This is Braden's second stint at MSU. He was an assistant for the Eagles under former MSU head coaches Donnie Tindall and Sean Woods from 2011 through 2014. Before leaving to join Tindall's staff at the University of Tennessee, the Louisville, Kentucky native comes to MSU after spending the last two seasons as an assistant coach at Bellarmine University. He joins Jonathan Maddox and JT Burton on the Eagles' new coaching staff. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
And finally, in sports, one of college basketball's top recruiting prospects says he will be deciding soon on where he'll be attending school next fall. Kentucky.com reports that 6'5" guard Mark Smith of Edwardsville, Illinois, is being recruited primarily by Ohio State, Michigan State, Illinois, and Kentucky. Smith is expected to visit Lexington in the coming days and says there's a lot to like about the UK program.
Coach Calipari, just his history, you know, of developing great basketball players and putting them in the NBA, and, you know, that's my dream. Go to the NBA, but also, just to win, you know, go to the NCAA tournament and play in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, you know, that's always a dream of mine to play on.
Illinois missed basketball last season. Smith averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists per game while shooting over 40% from three-point land. One other note from college basketball, Duke junior guard Grayson Allen is returning to school. Allen averaged 14 points and 3 assists per game last season for the Blue Devils. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football's spring football game is set for Saturday, April 22nd. The tailgate area opens at 11 a.m. with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Former Morehead State football players who received Pioneer League honors will be recognized at halftime. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell after Goldman Sachs shocked Wall Street by missing estimates. Investors also remain vigilant amid U.S.-North Korea tensions and the nearing of the French presidential election. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 113.64 at 20,523.28. The S&P 500 was down 6.82 at 2342.19. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 7.32 at 5849.47. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Goldman Sachs did report weaker than expected first quarter results across the board, with trading revenue in particular disappointing analysts. And last quarter marked the first time since 2015 that Goldman Sachs missed on earnings per share, and also the first time since the first quarter of 2016 that revenues came in below estimates. Johnson & Johnson also reported mixed quarterly results, which sent its shares dropping more than 3%, and video streaming firm Netflix posted better-than-expected earnings, but its guidance fell short of estimates. Netflix finished down 2.6% today. Bank of America reported strong first-quarter results, with almost every single metric meeting or topping analyst expectations. After being up earlier, the shares finished down about 0.5%. Investors continue to remain cautious as U.S.-North Korea tensions lingered. Vice President Mike Pence reassured Japan of American commitment to reining in North Korea's nuclear and missile ambitions on Tuesday, after warning that U.S. strikes in Syria and Afghanistan showed the strength of its resolve. U.S. Treasury bond prices rose with the stock market down, sending the benchmark 10-year note yield down to about 2.17%, while the short-term 2-year note yield finished at 1.16%. Investors also kept an eye on France as campaigning ramped up ahead of the first round of the presidential election. Left-wing candidate Mélenchon's surge in polls added to investors' worries as it becomes unclear who will win the contest. European equities fell broadly after British Prime Minister Theresa May called for a snap election in June. The announcement also sent the British pound for a loop. The currency rose more than 2% to just over $1.28 after briefly falling more than 1%. In the oil markets, crude oil was down less than 0.1% at $52.60 a barrel, and gold was down less than 0.1% at $1,291.30 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Coca-Cola and United Health Group. The worst performers were Goldman Sachs and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were AutoNation and International Paper, and the worst performers were Cardinal Health and W.W. Grainger. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 75 cents at $123.97, CSX down 60 cents at $46.63, AEP up 25 cents at $67.99, AK Steel unchanged at $6.31, Marathon Petroleum down 95 cents at $48.95, and Kroger was down 19 cents to finish at $29.81. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
One last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area. Cloudy with occasional rain showers tonight. Thunder possible, low around 59 degrees. Chance of rain at 60%. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, high of 77. Chance of rain at 60%. Right now, it's 75 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Victoria Agee. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.